Day three of WrestleMania.
Day three, baby.
A lot of people are saying this could be the best year yet. Making that up. Recording this before we even put the first one out. I can't remember how many years we've been doing this. I thought it was four. I went back and sort of checked.
It's
definitely four.
Yeah, it's definitely
four. Someone's like, is it five?
Have you gone mad?
2018, 19, 20, 21, 20. That does that at five. That's annoying.
WrestleMania. When did we start it? We started it in February, didn't we? I seem to recall. I think we recorded over Christmas and
I don't know. Unimportant.
Again,
unimportant.
Ended the last show by doing admin. Starting this one, did
people
admin.
Love admin podcasts. I saw a thing the other day about what's that? My dad wrote a porno. They have decided to end it. I mean, it'd be nice for them. They don't have to, you know, make it up anymore. There was an article in one of the papers, you know, because that's the only podcast people will write about.
Yes,
in the papers, that matter. The Guardian, and they there was a thing where they went the perfect time to end a podcast, and they were like, you know, so few people end a podcast.
Fuck off!
You eat shit.
You ended the podcast for obvious fucking reasons.
And why don't you end your newspaper, right? Why don't you end it? Because it's what you do. It's our job. Yeah, it's our fucking job. I have been looking at that, and it did make me sort of go, oh, you know, what if a podcast gets past its sell-by date and everything? But then, I mean, you know, some things are fucking evergreen. Yeah. So stop crying.
Stop crying, fucking pornos.
Pornos. I mean, the fact that is, nobody is saying this is basically fraud. You know, it does astonish me. In the old days, if you invented a kid's name on BBC Radio because you didn't know enough competition winners.
Yes.
Oh, and well done to Sally Ann. You know, they were like, oh, we ended the corporation.
Yeah, you're going to prison.
Nine directors go to prison. So, you know, and now you can do a podcast and you can just go, so, you know.
Dad's been busy.
How big's that fucking shed to be piled up with those books? I'm sure a lot of people listen to this and go, very hack stand-up thing to have a pop at, you know, that.
Is it? The Guardian love it. The Guardian would love this content.
All I care about is The Guardian. If one day The Guardian did start writing about WrestleMania, it would only be to say they made some horrible remarks about beloved podcast My Dad Wrote a Porno. And there'd be a picture of you, Pete, and it would be superimposed onto a sour grape.
I don't know what that sour grape would look like.
Oh.
Because grapes don't really...
Well, you
gooseberry
can't tell.
Is a gooseberry.
Well, yeah, I suppose you could do that. That's true.
Yeah. A gooseberry in parenthesis.
But gooseberry also works because it's like you weren't invited to the party.
Yes,
sort of thing.
The porno party.
The Guardian would be really pleased with that. They're making me so angry.
I literally shook that guy's hand yesterday.
Did you?
Never met him before. Walked past him.
In fairness,
I was smiling at somebody next to him and I just felt like he felt a bit left out. So I shook his hand and I was like, what are you doing here? You don't have a podcast?
No.
I pulled him in. And he went, Get out.
This is no longer for
you. No longer for you.
This is not a party of lies. Oh, well, look. Today,
how's your dad, prick?
I would love it if he did a tell-all.
Yeah, it was all bullshit. It was a Mrs. Doubtfire concoction.
Completely. Although, Alice Levine no longer doing that, she could always come do some wrestling.
Yep.
I don't care whether she's good at it or not. just a big fan of Alice Levine.
Okay, cool.
Probably not the best way to go about slagging off her work, is it? Don't imagine that's going to make her more interested.
Negging? I guess it's negging.
It's negging, yeah. It's negging. Hey, I've been reading that book that Russell Brand uses. CM Punk. I'm about to do a big bit about him. No.
You got deep pockets, baby.
Oh, yeah. CM Punk in UFC. That's what we're here for today. I think the first time we've ever done any mixed martial arts, isn't it?
Yes. Is it?
I don't think we've even looked at Lesnar.
Have we not? Maybe not then.
We've looked at sort of shoot fights.
Right.
But
never UFC.
The saga of CM Punk in UFC, Pete, is a fascinating one. I think it might be the single most humiliating thing that's ever happened to anyone that was famous.
Yeah. And I think seeing him look so healthy and happy before the first match.
Yeah.
And then almost immediately after that, when he's getting into the second match, it's like he looks terrible
now.
He's had his good looks punched out of him.
The definition of hubris, isn't it? Now, I should say, I couldn't do it.
No.
God knows.
Good God.
But I don't think I could do it, right?
Exactly.
Punk, he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I think he still thinks he probably can.
Yes.
He certainly thought he could at the time.
Okay.
And the arrogance of the man. What I find most interesting about the whole UFC thing with CM Punk is he had this sort of reputation as being a bit of a knob, and he very much thought that he was better than he was. He thought he was a main eventer, and everyone was a bit like, well, if you were a main eventer, you'd be a main eventer. Mm. He thought he was a UFC fighter. What I find so funny about this is very, very quickly, the UFC were just like, we are not able to just go, you know, he's giving it his best shot.
Mm.
Very quickly, they became openly hostile to him being there at all and were unable to hide it in any way. How does this nightmare come about? CM Punk is in WWE. He's been holding the championship belts. He's been having main events. And after the 2014 Royal Rumble, he's burnt out and he feels like he's not getting his proper spot that he deserves. So he leaves in a huff. And in the months that follows, it becomes more apparent that he's not just not coming back to WWE. He's pretty much turned his back on wrestling.
Mm.
There's interest from Impact. There's interest from Ring of Honor and New Japan, all of which he ignores. He begins focusing on writing comic books and just healing up and getting ready.
Mm.
But at the end of that year, 2014, so about 11 months after the Royal Rumble, he signs with the UFC. And it's announced in an interview on one of their pay-per-views with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan, it's funny watching this as well, because I first discovered Joe Rogan as the commentator on UFC.
Yeah.
And on UFC, he was always a real level-headed, nice guy in a world that seemed a little bit full of weird, dodgy people.
Yes.
There were funny money men, and there was Dana White, who was a bit outspoken and mean.
Mm.
And what you had with Joe Rogan was just nice guy who was really interested in this sport and who was really incisive about it. What I like to think of as the Wrestle Me of UFC. So watching him back now, it's a little bit like you sort of go, oh, this is what, before it went wrong.
Yeah, he went on the forums.
Before he went fucking nuts. In the interview, CM Punk made it clear. He said, my professional wrestling days are over. This is something that's been in the back of my mind for a very, very long time. I have a background in Kenpo. I've done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu off and on for a very long time. The idea of being able to step inside the octagon and find out what's inside myself, test myself, this is an opportunity I was not able to deny myself. He says, it's now or never for me. I have a limited window, just like all fighters do, and I'm ready for a fight. I'm here for a fight. I'm here to kick someone's ass or get my ass kicked. And even as he says this in the interview, Joe Rogan is looking at him, unable to sort of, you get the impression he's going, is this guy ever fucking real? This stuff he's saying, does he actually believe any of it? It's an amazing thing to see that right from the word go, the people in the UFC are like,
unconvinced.
I got a funny feeling about this one. There's a lovely little bit where at the end, Rogan just goes, well, good luck. And Punk goes, hey, luck is for losers, Joe. And Joe Rogan just goes, nah, I'll take as much luck as I can get. And it's so the wrong note for everything. He's also billed here as Phil CM Punk Brooks.
Yeah.
They aren't yet convinced as to whether or not they're going to call him CM Punk.
Right.
But this is the only time they call him Phil CM Punk Brooks. It's very strange. At the time, there was a lot of confusion about this move, a lot of surprise, because people in the WWE and who'd known him through wrestling were just like, what on earth is he doing?
Mm.
Punk didn't have a reputation as a tough guy. He didn't have a reputation as being someone who was, you know, having fights backstage and had a sort of natural aggression. He also had no legitimate sporting background. He'd only ever been a wrestler. The comparison that obviously comes to mind is with Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar did the same thing by signing with UFC in 2008. So he'd left WWE in 2007, unhappy about the travel, wasn't enjoying it anymore. He had an MMA match in Japan, which he won very quickly. And he spent a year trying to get into the NFL with a sort of small amount of success. The very fact that he'd never played college ball and had managed to get drafted, I think, by the Minnesota Vikings, you know, even at a low level, was astonishing and, you know, just a complete surprise to everyone. He then signed with the UFC. But Lesnar wasn't just WWE superstar Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was an elite level wrestling champion.
Mm.
He'd won NCAA championships. He was clearly a fucking terrifying, real grappler. Batista, around the same time, he also took part in MMA. Mm. He was older. He found it very, very difficult, but he said it was a bucket list thing that he wanted to do. And he did it in a very, very small promotion where he just eked out a win. And afterwards, you can see he was just delighted. He was like, that was awful. I just hated it. And it was all charming. So Punk has signed for this and everyone's a bit like, what is this guy doing? He had injuries and some setbacks and they delayed his debut until UFC 202. Mm. I can't remember how they say it. 202. UFC 202. And that took place in September 2016. So that was basically 21 months after he'd signed.
Right.
Again, quite a big gap.
That. Yes.
Quite a big gap. He takes on a guy called Mickey Gall in Cleveland. Have you watched UFC particularly at all?
Not a huge, just highlights and stuff, really. I've never really sort of, just the knockouts, the dirty old knockouts, the knees to the faces, stuff like that.
I mean, this first Punk match is great to watch because, I mean, there is no messing about with it.
No, it really, I mean, it looks more like a match because he's not doing anything and the mono knows what he's doing. The 24-year-old lad is just bring fuck into him.
Oh, it's amazing. And what it really is as well is it's a funny thing where from that very first moment that he signs where you see Joe Rogan going, I don't think you know what this is.
Yeah.
And CM Punk going, I am going to be the biggest thing ever. You sort of go, Joe Rogan has had to wait 21 months to go, I knew this was going to happen. It's an amazing pummeling. This did a decent buy rate for UFC at a time when they were sort of in between attractions. Mm. So Conor McGregor is not yet on the scene. Ronda Rousey is becoming a star, but isn't really at the main event level yet. You've got Anderson Silva out with injuries. You've got Georges St-Pierre semi-retired. So they need a name. And actually, for this event, CM Punk is that name until the match starts. He comes out to Cult of Personality, like his wrestling theme. And he looked like, in the 21 months that he's been training, he's added no muscle.
No,
his body is exactly the same as it was when he was a wrestler.
Yeah, but he's lost a bit of stomach fat. Like, that's the only thing. He looks trim, but he doesn't look muscly.
He shaved his head as well, and that does make it look like he's been on heroin. Part of my training regime is I must have a little bit of heroin. Rogan just sort of says, as he comes in, Rogan just goes, I have no idea what to think about this. I know nothing about this guy.
Yeah.
And there was a sense there as well that Punk wasn't letting people see what he was doing.
Mm.
And he either thought, this is going badly, which I don't think he thought, or he thought, they're going to be so surprised.
Surprise what I do.
I'm going to be so good at this. And my God, Joe Rogan really kind of goes, everything I've seen and know about this guy, he's going to have no aptitude for this sport. He says it's crazy to take your first fight in the UFC, which is the elite, when you're 37, already famous, and have no experience of doing this.
Yeah.
Punk comes out looking very cocky. It's almost like he's heard none of this. And he's laughing in the tunnel and he's just going, yeah, fuck yeah. And he's smiling at his coach. The coach says to him, you've got to get in there, punch him and knock him out. He says, and if that doesn't work, then go to the knees. Like that. And Punk is just like, this is, so ready for this. Do the punches, do the knees, win. Everyone cheers. You know, I'm bigger than ever. And do you know what? The WWE will be on their hands and knees begging me to come back. And what I'll say is I'll say no, because I'm the biggest star in the world. You can tell how Punk thought this would go. He thought this was going to be an absolute drubbing at his hands and that he would then be called the best fighter in the world. And it would be the next match, a title shot, which he'd win. And then eventually he'd defend that more times than anyone else and would retire when he wanted. And he'd just be a huge star, possibly bigger than Muhammad Ali. He goes up against Mickey Gall, not a great fighter, particularly in the grand scheme of things. On this night, the greatest fighter Punk has ever come across. He had a 2-0 record. His first match was against, most recent match rather, was a match against a guy called Mike Jackson. Mm. And it was for the honour of who would get to face CM Punk.
Right.
Okay. Mickey Gall won that in about the same time as he beat Punk here. Mike Jackson will come up again in a moment. So Mickey Gall goes out. He has Punk down within 5 seconds and he just starts raining bombs down on CM Punk. And there's an elbow and he steps over into side control. He starts grinding on him. Joe Rogan just says, this is horrific. This is horrific.
I just think that CM Punk just thought that it was going to be there's going to be a bit more kind of change in pace. You know, he's going to start slow. But Mickey just goes for his guts.
Absolutely.
Just takes him down with a spear and then just fucking it's over. As soon as he's on the floor, he's like, what have you been fucking training for all this time?
21 months.
They must have said how to get out of this.
Yeah, completely.
Somehow.
There's a bit where he starts pushing himself off the cage using his feet. And that is not allowed in the UFC. And they let it go because they're just like, I mean, he needs everything he can get. It's just, I mean, he got Rogan sitting there just going, this is what happens when you put a white belt against a brown belt. This is, the funny thing about this is we watch it and we kind of go, he wasn't prepared. Everyone in the UFC was just like, he shouldn't be here.
This
is so ridiculous. It's a little bit like me saying, I'm going to be a pole vaulter. I've got 21 months to do it. And everyone in pole vaulting will go, I mean, it's just not, you can't. And I'm going to, and do you know what? I'm going to beat the other pole vaulters.
I'm going to win the Olympics.
Pole. No, they're going to, the pole vaulters, the one thing they're great at is getting that pole like in your eye. It's like, you know, really. Mickey Gall gets the choke in and he just pummels Punk around the head, the back of the head and ears, just really wailing away on him like a fucking drum. And Joe Rogan says, well, he says, this guy does not quit. And then Punk immediately taps out. He defended a little bit, says Rogan. He's just monstered.
Yeah,
absolutely monstered in public.
Bombed in the gob.
2:14, Pete.
Yeah.
I mean,
it felt like a long time.
I'm going to say I couldn't do this. I couldn't do it, but I would also still have some seconds put on the clock. They would go, Mickey Gall knocked him out in 22 seconds. But I'd be like, well, you know, Punk, who did 21 months, he did 2:14. So I did 22 seconds, he did 2:14. You know, it's not like we're that much different. It's just awful. Afterwards, it's so excruciating. It's so excruciating. Punk spends ages hugging Mickey Gall. We've been to the mountaintop together.
You hear him sort of go, listen to me. No, CM Punk, you listen to Mickey. You don't have any advice to tell that man because you shat your pants.
He must have been going, you are a great... your opinion is invalid. Your opinion is invalid. This is of no interest to me. And he stays there for so long, dominating that moment. A bit Hogan Warrior at WrestleMania 6, where he's going, I'm the focus here.
As if
he's sort of going, Mickey Gall will love this, that I will talk to him and I will, you know, make him feel better about the damage that he's done to me. Beloved CM Punk. When they show his face on the big screen, the crowd go, oh!
His ears are all over the place.
Oh, it's doubled in size. It's coming out at a different angle. And his whole face is just ground
mushed
meat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. Mickey Gall looks exactly the same as when he came in. I mean, he literally hasn't broken a sweat. Rogan turns to Mickey Gall and he says, I admire CM Punk was willing to take this chance, but were you in any way insulted that a guy could take 2 years and take on a guy like you?
Was this a colossal waste of time, Mickey?
It's amazing they don't go. I mean, CM Punk was the unknown factor. There must have been a lot riding in this because obviously a fighter of your experience to have to be in the glare of the spotlight, the nerves, they just go, you took on one of the worst fighters of all time. Would you like an apology? We can write one down. And Mickey Gall goes, do you know what? It's fine about it. You know, he's very nice here. And he says, look, I've seen a lot of hate for him online and everything. Just say, look, he says, why hate? We'll all be dead in 100 years.
Yeah.
And I did sort of look at it and think, Punk's going to, you could kill him now. Rogan says, this isn't the kind of test that a young man like Mickey Gall wants. I mean, it's so humiliating.
Because it's weird, because I guess it's sort of different to wrestling in that, you know, there is more legitimacy in there. So you do have to call it as it is.
Yeah.
Unlike wrestling, where it's like, oh, wow, he just did that move. He didn't know that fucking move.
What's really clear with this with Rogan is just like, I am not going to lie to the people here. But also, I think I had the impression that Rogan is very friendly with all the fighters. Mm. And I think the fighters were like, why is this guy who has never done this before coming in just because he's famous?
Yeah.
He's one of these fake pro wrestlers. And what he's doing, he's taking the purse.
Mm.
That is a short-sighted view at this point, because CM Punk was a name who got more people to buy that pay-per-view than most of the people on that card. The rest of the card is pretty much fighters who they may have been respected at the time, but they aren't particularly well remembered now.
Mm.
They were never marquee names, and Punk was. The problem for the UFC was they are a legitimate sport and they couldn't couch it in any other terms than just go, this was an absolute abomination.
Mm.
They they make it very clear as things go on now. They sort of go, we can't go. He's got a lot of heart and he's getting better. They are just going, we've got to get through this and we're sorry. And what you've got contrasting that is CM Punk going, maybe next time's going to be my big shot. It's so awful. Rogan goes over to Punk after that match and he just sort of says, I mean, he says, well done, but this was madness. He says, madness. And then Punk gives this emotional speech, this inspirational speech, where he says, it was a hell of a mountain to try to climb. I didn't get to the summit today, but it doesn't mean I'm going to give up. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop. I appreciate all the support from everybody. Mickey is a hell of a fighter. I'll be back, believe it or not. It was the most fun I've ever had in my life. I know there's a lot of doubters, but listen, life's about falling down and getting up. It doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down. It's about getting back up. If there's any kid out there that's told by a parent or a coach or a teacher or somebody they look up to, somebody that's supposed to push them and believe in them, and they're told, no, don't listen to them. Believe in yourself. I mean, Jesus Christ. Everyone is saying to him, You, I mean, this is appalling. And he's going, they're naysayers. Don't believe them. And then they're like, mate, that your skull is going to come out of the back of your head. All right. I mean, just as an inspirational moment, the note that he sets on it is just pure, untrammeled, ridiculous arrogance.
Yeah.
That he has no idea what has gone on. Now, Punk has lost his first match, and we've been here before with Lesnar. So Lesnar had his first UFC match and he lost it to Frank Mir. Mm. He got caught very early on in a heel hook and he tapped out. But up to that point, he'd been frightening. And what happened with that heel hook was it was a sense of Lesnar's inexperience was the thing that had allowed Mir, the canny old wily veteran, to manage to clamp this on. Mm. It wasn't a case of him being dominated for 2 minutes and nearly died. Lesnar, he had almost won. In his second match, he came back and he beat Heath Herring. He then went on to win the UFC championship from Randy Couture. And then he refaced Frank Mir in a rematch, which he won. So there is the redemption story. Mm. So Punk is looking at that and going, Lesnar lost his first match. And you know what? It was the second one it all started clicking. I mean, what happened in the second match, Pete, is strange and weird and bad. But let's just listen to this sense of what UFC felt about Punk. So this is them. He's no longer the main event on this card. He is the opening match on their pay-per-view. And this is how they introduce him.
All right, first fight we will see on pay-per-view tonight, gentlemen. CM Punk, here in his hometown of Chicago, will try to produce his first UFC win against the also 0-1 Mike the Truth Jackson.
Yeah. You first. You know what, buddy? Listen, I admire that he wants to do this. It's a very difficult pursuit. And what I like about this fight is he's fighting someone of commensurate talent.
The best they can say is this will be all right because he's going against someone who's also shit. This happens 21 months later at UFC 225 in 2018, where he faces Mike the Truth Jackson, the guy who had lost to Mickey Gall in the attempt to face CM Punk initially. It was the first time that 2-0-1-loss fighters ever fought on a main card in the UFC. Other fighters were absolutely incredulous that this was happening. They actually felt that it really made a mockery of their sport. The two people who didn't have a single win would end up being on the main card.
Yeah.
They had both lost to Mickey Gall. I mean, they are looking basically now, the best they can hope for is someone who is worse than the man who beat CM Punk. They are hoping that is Mickey Gall. Now, Jackson is worse than Gall. Mm. No one's worse than Punk. So no one on the professional level is. When they do a little trailer of it as well, Punk is doing really limp shadow boxing in the sort of video that builds up. And you look at it and just go, this is like, the closest I can say it's like, is it's like the wrestling camp. I can't remember the bloody name of it, Pete. That was with John. Oh, this is so annoying.
The wrestling camp that was with John.
Foxcatcher.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
The very wealthy heir, John DuPont, who set up a wrestling camp and began wrestling the wrestlers. And because he was the man who was funding it and was a bit strange, they would allow him to sort of dominate them. And he began taking part in tournaments where he'd be destroyed. but had clearly paid off his opponents so that he'd win. And he had no idea that they all thought, obviously, he was shit. Mm. And they were just allowing him to win. And Punk has a feel here of that guy who is just unaware that everyone is going, you are the worst at this. And he's going, yeah, but, you know, I'm doing really well. And they're going, no, you're not. You are doing appallingly. This is in Chicago, his hometown. They do chant his name when he's there. And that seems to be a hometown thing. He looks by this time like he's not slept for about 2 weeks.
He looks terrible.
He's even so skinnier looking than he was before. It's so bad.
And he's fighting, if everything's equal and stuff, and he's worked really hard for this second fight. The guy's got a shorter reach. He's got less weight and he's got 6 years on his opponent. I mean, surely, CM Punk, you've got to find some. There must be someone who is that shit. Who doesn't win on every measurement, I suppose, in the actual thing.
Yeah. Well, what happens with this is the worst possible outcome. They have a thing where they're setting up, and Joe Rogan is very, very clear about this, where he says, "Look, whoever loses this is never fighting in UFC again."
Right.
You know, this is so low, and actually, it's even worse than that, where it's such a bad fight that neither of the men are going to be winners. They are both going to lose because they will never be allowed back into UFC. And that sounds like hyperbole, but these are things that were actually said by like the bosses, made it very clear they would never, ever book either of them again. The match itself is really strange. So there's one good thing I really liked. It's right at the start, Mike Jackson. When they boo Mike Jackson, he does a thing where he starts like plucking the boos out and putting them in his mouth like he's eating their boos. Nom, 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 nom. And I was like, that is the best thing I've seen in Punk's entire UFC career. This is a weird fight. So it goes to 3 rounds and Punk is so bad in it.
Mm.
Mike Jackson doesn't seem to be having any difficulty, but for some reason, Mike Jackson doesn't bother like winning. He there's some amazing bits where Punk is so dead on his feet.
Mm.
He is so tired. He's gassed so massively.
Mm.
He's so out of his depth that Mike Jackson is punching him, but looking away, like he's not even looking at him. And he's just sort of like showing off and just being silly without being stylish, like he can't be bothered. It's just excruciating this.
Mm.
This is as weird a sort of a thing that you could possibly have buy on pay-per-view ever.
Yeah.
Someone who can't do the thing that everybody else is doing, and you watch it for 9 minutes. I mean, it's just bizarre. They begin listing the commentators the types of MMA fighters you get. They say there are guys that come in with a specific background or ones who start young and they do everything. And CM Punk is neither of them, they say. At the end of round two, Jackson is completely unmarked. Punk looks like he's been through a car windscreen.
Yeah.
And they start round three. They touch gloves. And that's the thing that people tend to do when they're like, this is a great fight. May the best man win. And it's totally misread the level of fight they've put on. It's just Punk by this point is like this horrible bloody scarecrow lurching about, and he doesn't quite know where he is, and he gets punched and he wheels about, and it's just he can barely get off the floor when he's down.
Yeah, the thing against me is like I don't know what he's been doing if he's going to get gassed that quickly, and also like his punches are so open. There's no technique.
No
to
technique.
It. He's just throwing.
No,
and you're like, mate, like you're going to get one in the fucking face.
You have done this for 4 years. 4 years you've been training this, and none of it's gone in. There's a bit which is he goes for a sort of like a knee bar, but the legs of Jackson aren't remotely in the right position, so
no.
Punk just ends up stuck on the floor. And it's just like, this is like people who've watched UFC in a fight like in Colchester, and they are going, I'm going to try this out. I've never tried it before. Oh no, I'm in a worse situation than I was before I tried it. This ends after 3 rounds. They hug, the crowd boo. There is no one cheering by this. The commentators say perhaps these 15 minutes will scratch the itch for CM Punk if the UFC debut did not. I personally wouldn't want to see him again, one of them says. Joe Rogan, in the middle of this, does a classic bit of Joe Roganing, we now know, where he introduces a conspiracy theory. And
right.
He suddenly says, I literally think that, you know, Jackson, you know, if I was a conspiracy-minded person, I'd say that Jackson has been paid off to carry Punk to 3 rounds. And the other commentators are like, let's not start.
I mean, that's
doing that.
In that way
right
that you're allowed to do that sort of thing in America, where I mean, that's astonishingly against the law.
The match is, by the standards of UFC, where MMA fighters are elite and they are trying to win matches, the fact that Jackson didn't try and win this, you go, what is going on here? What is going on here? Rogan does have to come back on at the end and he has to kind of go, oh, I was just joking about the conspiracy earlier, folks. But once he said it, you are like, you fucking weren't. You couched that in language that you couldn't be done, but you were just going, something stinks here.
Yeah.
It's a really funny thing that it's quite difficult to fake mixed martial arts. It's really difficult to throw a match because these people are so used to watching it. You're like, what are you doing there? I know you're better than this. What's going on?
Yeah.
So it's actually sort of difficult to do. And in this, you get Joe Rogan on the pay-per-view saying, if I was conspiracy-minded, I'd say he'd taken a bung. Just amazing.
It's amazing that
is how bad it is. The scores come in. It's 30-26 to Jackson. That is a absolutely huge losing score. I mean, you rarely see that as a score in the UFC. Afterwards, Dana White, who is the booker of UFC, he said, Mike Jackson, I'm not happy with. The guy was acting like a goofball tonight. You get the opportunity to fight CM Punk and you're doing bolo punches to the body on top. Never looked like he was trying to finish the fight ever, right? Looked like he could have finished the fight a few times. Never tried. I don't know what the guy did for a living before we gave him this shot, but whatever it was, he needs to go back and do that again. He's 0-2 as far as I'm concerned. He then added, I got the sense he's a complete fucking idiot and I couldn't wait for that fight to end and I regretted not putting it on Fight Pass. That's how I felt about it. He said it shouldn't have been on the pay-per-view. The man who booked it. Jackson did later admit that he had carried CM Punk in the fight. He said that he wanted to have a first round knockout. And when he didn't get the first round knockout, he was like, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give him a really sound, thorough beating. And that would, you know, make Punk realize MMA is not for him. And I would be representing MMA. I would be drawing this out and I'd be toying with him and showing everyone he couldn't hang with a proper martial arts artist. He also did say that he was upset the UFC had really sort of like slated him. And he was like, they really wanted me to kill him. He said, I didn't want to hurt him. He said, what I learned through this is that Dana White and MMA fans, you guys are savages. They wanted me to give this dude some severe CTE. And I was like, this guy has a family to feed. He has someone to go home to. I would feel bad. I sent him to the emergency room with just the bumps and the bruises and the cuts on his face. And they wanted me to give this dude severe brain damage, he says. I guess fighting isn't really meant for me, he said. He did a little bit at the end where he sort of goes, I enjoyed that. You know, it's just a shame fighting here. You know, I wasn't allowed to take marijuana. That was annoying. Well, he had taken marijuana. And so, oddly, in a Freedom of Information request 3 years later, it was found that the UFC had actually tested him positive on the night of the fight for marijuana.
Right.
And so the match was ruled a no contest.
That's and hilarious. That meant that CM Punk
didn't lose.
Right.
So he ended his UFC record with 0 wins, 1 loss, 0 draws, brackets, 1 no contest. On Punk, Dana White said after the match, it probably should be a wrap. The guy is 39 years old. I love the guy, the nicest guy in the world. We gave him 2 shots and he had a lot of heart tonight in this fight, and I think he should call it a wrap. Punk did later speak about his UFC career, which he hasn't done very much for obvious reasons. Because, I mean, it was an absolute car crash. He went on Renny Paquette's podcast and he said, I think a lot of people out there who are critical of me and that performance will say, oh, I'll get beaten up for $1 million. But my retort to that was always, well, do the work I did to get to the point where somebody would offer you that kind of money, because there would be an audience then to see you fight. 73 Twitter followers doesn't equate to $1 million payday to fight. Worth saying, nobody went, oh, he only did it for the money. Everyone was like, he was paid a lot, he was wealthy, he was arrogant, and he was out of his depth. And he's never admitted that he was crap. He did add on to that. He said, the idea was, let's do this before you get too old. God damn it, turns out I was too old. If only he'd been younger, he would have been the best, wouldn't he? What was really funny is it turned out he was actually officially with UFC for 7 entire years.
Wow.
Because only when he went to AEW did he contact UFC to say, I have now officially retired. And they said, best of luck with your future endeavors.
You're painting of the Spitfire.
What is, it's funny about this really fits in, if you like, to the CM Punk story for me, which is all the people who have got negative things to say about his attitude and things, you can quite slightly see his inflated sense of what he is and his possible disconnect with the realities of the business that he's working in. I think you can see those with the UFC years that he spent. What I think is really important is one really important thing came out of this, and that was after using CM Punk, Dana White refused to book anyone on the basis of celebrity. He only worked with people who had a proper mixed martial arts background.
Yeah.
And two of the people who repeatedly asked him if they could have a match in UFC were Logan Paul and Jake Paul. And because of CM Punk, Dana White always said publicly, he said, I am not going to get involved with showbiz people again. So he did an interview where he just said, I've tried to do a couple of those celebrity things with some WWE guys. Some worked, some didn't. But he always refused to let the Paul brothers fight because he said, you're not professional fighters.
Right.
And so, had it not been for CM Punk doing this, there's every chance that Logan Paul would have been doing a load of stuff in UFC.
Yes.
And if he'd been doing a load of stuff in UFC, he would never, ever have gone to the WWE. So we have to thank CM Punk for Logan Paul being in WWE.
Yeah.
So if nothing else came out of his UFC career other than watching him four rounds of him being absolutely really beasted, it's the fact that the gift it gave us was Logan Paul, and that is a gift beyond measure.
Yeah, thanks CM Punk.
Thank you, Phil. Quotation CM Punk Brooks. So look, that was CM Punk in UFC. If you've not seen them, I think you can go onto YouTube. Certainly the Mickey Gall fight is available there.
Right.
The Mike Jackson one is harder to find, but that's because it's also, I mean, it's a boring watch. It really is boring. Have you, watching this, Pete, decided it's that just... you might like a little go at UFC?
No. Well, I... No. You sort of go, I mean, you could just not do those big, wide punches, letting him in.
I must admit, I look at it, Pete, and I think that is the sort of thing I will have a nightmare about tonight. About the idea of having to do that.
I sort of go... You look at it and you sort of go, right, so if you don't do the punching, don't get taken down on the ground because you're going to get punched.
Yeah.
So stay in the air. So if you can fly.
You've got to do that. My technique would be I would throw one punch. If it didn't connect, I'd leave.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to get any better for me.
Exactly,
it's not
going
to get any better. That said, I would like to do the intro. I'd like to hear my name being over the tannoy and I go, yay!
And, just and then
go,
leave.
And now I go.
Just keep on walking.
And they'll go, you won't get paid. I go, I could not give a shit.
Couldn't give a shit.
I've got everything I wanted out of this and I'm going now.
Oh, Mickey, what a pity you don't.
So look, that is the story of CM Punk in UFC.
He tried a bit.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it ended exactly how I wanted it to.
Resume Mark.
Resume Pete.